Hey, America.
Start listening.
Ow. Have to work on that.
We'll fix it in post.
Social distancing, everyone.
Woo.
It's good for you, everybody else. And we didn't write any jokes. So what do we do?
Just cut to the music?
Yeah.
Get to the music right as I'm about to say a really tasteful coronavirus joke.
And welcome to another offensive episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, home of the popular podcast 12 Points from America. I'm Eric.
I'm Danny.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Sam. How's it going?
We got it. We did it. It only took 43 takes.
Broadcasting to you live from the sequestered depths of Zoom.
The wonders of technology saving our butts once again.
We are safely ensconced in the various 12 Points from America bunkers that we have placed all over America.
We have a quartet of secret bunkers that no one will ever find out about. They know that one of them is in South Minneapolis. The location of the other four could be as far away as South St. Paul. You'll never know.
There's no
wherever you are listening to us from, we hope that you are hunkered down in your own bunker, safe, sound, and socially distanced, but listening to us, which we appreciate.
Yes, that's the important part.
Mm-hmm.
We're the cure. We are not the cure.
Please
take care of yourselves and be safe and all that. Okay, so there's no Eurovision. We've been over that. We have concluded that doesn't matter. We're going to preview all of Eurovision anyway. There's a cat on the screen right now. Great.
Oh, Eurocat.
So here's how this is going to work. We're going to have six shows of previews with about seven songs in each. We're going to kind of talk about how we feel about these particular groups of songs that we kind of, how did we come up with our splits here? I know it's not completely random, but I also didn't do it. So somebody else say something.
Yeah, Derek, you were the one who kind of took the reins on kind of putting our roster of 2020 provisional songs into the bucket and pulling them out as a coherent cromulent show. What was your logistical mindset with that?
I put all the songs I like in one pot and the crap in the others.
Okay.
So which one is this?
Oh, this is one of the crap ones.
Oh, okay.
No, I broke it up by male, female, kind of energy level, and just general popularity, sort of based on the betting odds and whatnot. So it wouldn't be too loaded in any particular one, but who knows?
Seems reasonable to me.
Yeah. So
thank you for doing that.
Point is, we're going to make our own Eurovision. And here it is. This is the first of six semifinals.
I'm going to invite my own really weird interval act.
Yeah.
Please don't be Madonna. Don't be Madonna.
Please be Destat.
No, it's going to be Squidward's marching band from that episode.
Ooh,
Band Geek.
From the Super Bowl.
We're finally going to hear the Bubble Bowl Sweet Victory.
Fantastic.
I like it.
Right. So who is our first country on the docket then? Who am I going to drag first?
Oh, that's right. Because you have not heard or seen the vast majority of these songs. Is that right, Danny?
That's true. I will say this very first one got sent to me by someone who is not in this podcast. So I have had this one slightly spoiled for me. I haven't watched all of it, but I've watched a significant portion. The first one up is Israel. This one I have seen.
All right. So the songs we're looking at today will be Israel, Lithuania, Albania, Greece, Estonia, and Germany.
The big six.
In a matter of speaking.
Yes.
Yes. And the fact that we have them written in very large font on our little spreadsheet here.
They are a big six.
Yes. They're bold and italicized and everything.
Yes. First one is Israel.
Indeed it is. Eden Alene with Feke Libi for what would have been our Israeli entry for 2020.
So that is Israel. That is Feker Libi. That's it. Thoughts?
Go.
My opinion first. This is fine. This is not our winner. I'm gonna say that right away. This ain't our winner.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, none of these songs are gonna win at this point.
That's fair.
It's like
That's
I appreciate fair. This song only for variety's sake. Almost at this moment, it's not actively unpleasant. I don't hate this song, but at the same time, I don't think this is going to be like, if I'm doing like a representative poll, you know, five from every year and let's make a great Eurovision playlist, this one's not on it. It is my first song I've heard of Eurovision this year, and I'm already saying. Is it? It might be a combination of the mid-tempo, the fact that it's just slightly under-tempo, too under-tempo to be a banger. I don't know what it is. Eric, tell me why it isn't a banger.
It doesn't bang, I think is the thing. This has elements of things I like, and it's fine, but I also kind of have a hard time putting my finger on why I'm just not super into this one. The performance is fun and lively, and I don't know. It's just kind of...
Good dancing.
It's a good,
She's a good singer. Yeah, the presentation is fine.
Everything about it is fine to good, but for some reason, the complete package... It's a little forgettable.
It might be the melody and the structure. I think the problem here is with the song itself. Definitely not the performers. Definitely not the staging. I think this is just kind of a dud of a song.
I'm wondering if we're listening to the same song here because I absolutely loved it. I think that Eden is an incredibly engaging performer, that she is about 20 years old, but she is as super confident, very, very good vocally. The performance that we saw was a live vocal, which, you know, was basically spot on, full of personality. She was able to balance dance and singing without losing either of them. And I really appreciate it when a song has a sort of sense of place and that you could tell that this song is Middle Eastern with an African flair, which is what she is. She's, you know, she's Israeli born of Ethiopian heritage. And you hear that linguistically, you hear that stylistically in the music. And I love it when a country kind of really embraces either its roots or the roots of the specific singer. I thought this was super fun. I could have easily imagined that being a total dance floor filler at Euroclub. It just makes me happy. And there's something to be said for that. Derek, what do you think?
I can't say she's a bad dancer or a bad singer. For me, it's just the song, I don't know. It can only be elevated so much when it's not something that's right up my alley. So
then that's fine. I would be really curious to know what you would have thought about the other three songs in her national final, because she was selected sort of in a weird sort of double national final setup, that they had the search for the singer, and then they had four songs paired to her specifically after she won that first selection, and then they had another national final for those four songs, and this is the one that came out on top. So I'd be really curious to know what you thought of the other songs in her bag of tricks.
I'll get back to you. I'll write a 5-paragraph essay on it. I have it on your desk by Tuesday.
Fabulous.
I need a strong thesis statement on that.
Derek, what do you got?
I think I respect it a great deal. I think it's very ambitious in combining all these different elements. And, you know, we don't see African music a lot at Eurovision, which is kind of sad. It's like Morocco in 1980, and that's kind of it, really. The song itself just doesn't do anything for me. It feels fine, and fine is just, I wouldn't listen to it again if it came on. I'm just like, okay, that's that song. Yeah. I think she's engaging. I think she has good stage presence. I don't know what it would have looked like with a bit more money behind it. The stage she was on was pretty small, and that looked pretty budgeted for what they were doing, but I thought she did a good job singing. She had a good dance routine going with it. Like, the first time I heard it, I was really quite impressed by it, and then just over the time, I've just kind of lost interest.
So I think that's my summary too. I appreciate it more than I like it.
Well, Sam, that's three against one. So
Sam will voted be
off the island. I've been voted off of the podcast. Is that right?
Yes, something like that. All right, next we've got We've got Lithuania.
I've been waiting to listen to.
Yeah, we've talked about these guys a lot. They had an amazing national final. They had a lot of really, really cool options, and they went with probably the coolest.
Arguably,
No, that's an objective fact.
But that's what I'm saying. All right, without any further ado, this is The Roop with On Fire from Lithuania.
The Roop!
There's no doubt I'm strong enough to reach the state I've dreamed of. Gonna happen, and I will do what I can just to be a better man. The heat is getting higher. I feel that I'm on fire.
That was The Roop with On Fire. Our entry from Lithuania for 2020, the lost Eurovision. I'm going to come up with a lot of names for this year, I think. But let's see. Who should we start with?
We have to start with Danny. He had not heard this before.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll say I'm glad that at least one country is providing America, at least, with the Eurovision that I expect. That's a heck of a video. That's one hell of a video, and that is a weird ass song. So when this came out, this like shot to the top of the betting odds.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This has been the
because
one
it's
of,
definitely yeah. definitely memorable, but good. I don't know if I love this song. I don't know if I like this song. Hmm. I don't hate this song. I think I like it a little better than Israel's, but that is a weird ass song. Hmm. I like when he goes fire. That's all I can say. This song is utterly baffling to me.
But it's intriguing, though. Like it's
yes, it is hip. It's hypnotic in a way.
This song to me, it's like when you take a slug of a liqueur or something like that that you haven't tried before. That it's like you don't know what the flavoring is. You don't know whether you like it or not. But you just kind of have to take another sip just to see what's up with this.
Yes.
What is this flavor?
Yes.
It's not like Malort.
It is not like Malort. That's true.
No, but it's there's something weird. Like, is that almond? Is that peach? Is that raspberry? Is that what?
You're
is-
right. It's the two fermented kombucha of songs. You're like, I'm pretty sure I know what this should be. It's definitely not. Something weird is going on here. I'm just not sure. Also, I like the taste.
And you just keep getting back, going for another sip. And after a while, you realize, oh my God, I'm drunk.
So the band is the five of them that we see in the video, right?
The band is actually just the three of them. And then there are two dancers.
Who's the guy in the top knot?
The guy in the top knot, I think, is the percussionist.
Okay. That's wild. It's a wild song. I don't know if I can make an assessment right away. It's wild. It's baffling. It's
you're going to have to marinate.
It's definitely not like anything else that I'm probably going to hear, but woo.
It oh is boy. Not. I think we can spoil that sort of.
Spoiler
there are no other songs like this in the contest. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Somebody help me out here. I mean, if Eurovision had been happening, this one goes through to the final, I'm pretty sure. Just on its absolutely hypnotic uniqueness, but
and the live staged versions did not really diverge very much from what you saw in the video. It had the dance numbers, it had the dancers, it had the same vocal quality.
The mirrors?
Not the mirrors, but the magnifying glasses did pop up.
Oh, I see.
There were some magnifying glasses, but that dance move, the whole dance, they were really banking on that and trying to make that very much a thing. They had flash mobs going all over Vilnius with that the day of the final.
Flash mobs in Vilnius is my college rock project.
I probably would have hung out at one of their gigs. I was so kind of weirdly intrigued by this. Like I said, just I took a shot of the liquor and I never really looked very, very far back. And the more that I got into it, the more that I liked it. And then I looked at sort of the message and the meaning of the song. And I'm like, oh, this kind of hits home because it's all about people in their mid to late 30s who are kind of told that you're past your prime and you don't really, it's all downhill from here. But nobody has put an expiration date on you. And I really kind of appreciate that as somebody in her mid 30s who worries that she's past her prime.
Wait, that's
Sam, I'm in my 20s and I'll never get older.
That's the spirit. Wait, but that's what the song is about?
Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Well, jump in.
I thought this song was about skin tight European tops and dancing.
It could be that too.
I feel like most songs are to some degree about that. Including this one.
this is one that's been rolling around in my head for months now. And
am I gonna catch myself humming this in the shower tomorrow?
Probably.
You tell us, Danny. Eric and Derek, what do you think?
It's wildly infectious. Lyrically, I think it's kind of bad, but I mean, just it does all those things we've talked about previously that we hate, like rhyming higher and fire.
Yeah, I should hate this song on just that merit alone.
And desire.
For whatever reason, yeah. I'm like completely okay with that because they sell the hell out of it. And everything they're doing, I think, really works. It's just crazy how catchy it is. Every time it comes up, I'll listen on my playlist. I'll listen to it. I never skip it. It never gets old. I don't know. I can see why people liked it. It dropped a second in the betting odds. But I mean, I think it had a real shot at the show if they put it all together.
Mm. But they dropped down behind the Daddy Freyer?
No.
We'll get to it.
We'll get to it.
Not in this episode, but we'll get
to
it. Yeah. I think it's great. Infectious is I think the right word. It's an earworm. It's a total earworm. And I think the staging was fun and memorable. The instrumental hook in the chorus, like it's all there. There are a few quote unquote weird songs this year. So it's tough to know if one of those would have stood out enough to win, but this is great. This is super fun. It's unlike anything we've had before or anything that we're going to have this year. At the time of recording, we don't know what Lithuania's plan is, I don't think, for next year. It would be great to see them next year with a perhaps a similar song, or just to have them there in some capacity would be really, really cool. Because this is a great song, and I feel so bad for Lithuania that they put out something this cool. And then,
yeah, it's going to be even more cringy as we go through more of these songs to see surefire hits or songs that are total winners, and we just have to lament that it's not happening.
This one had a definite shot. I'd be surprised if Lithuania didn't send them again.
Yeah, it certainly has had a shot to win hypothetically. You think that somebody out there was like, all of this speculation and all of this like thinking about, oh, who might win, or I think this is going to win, you think this is going to win, this sort of stuff is super fun. It would be great if we could just do this all the time. And then somewhere else, a monkey's paw finger went down.
And then we got our wish.
Like, oh, you like this, huh? Well,
I wish we could have it like this exact same next year.
Yeah.
There's an entire Eurovision field, and you can argue forever about who would have won, and you'll never know.
It's maddening. That is so maddening.
All right, I've got an idea of my score for this bad boy, but
we will discuss our overall cumulative scores at the end of the episode.
Yes.
I'll say it would have been nice to see Lithuania win. They've never actually won.
And
you see all these big countries. So. Vilnius is affordable.
I saw Vilnius. I saw mini Vilnius.
That's true. We did
know exactly what it's going to be like.
We did see mini Vilnius.
Mm-hmm. I'm dying to go there. I mean, like, I'm part Lithuanian.
Mini Vilnius.
It's my heritage.
Oh,
I'm part tiny Lithuanian, Eric. That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the opposite of a Lithuanian basketball.
Oh,
that's true.
I hate myself.
Now you're talking about that song. That's
We'll paint a basketball.
They should send them next year. Anyway, shout out to Mini Europe, friend of the show.
They better pay us something for how much we constantly talk about Mini Europe.
I've been getting checks. Have you?
They should be sending me pictures of that turtle. Anyway, the next song is Albania. Who's singing for Albania?
Ariana Ara.
Yeah, with Fall from the Sky. Originally Shy.
And
then released in its English version just a few days before the cancellation of the contest. Heartbreaking.
So are we listening to the English language version?
Let's listen to the English language version, because that would have been the version that we would have heard at the contest. I think we should stick with.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Here we go. Albania. That was Ariana Ara with Fall from the Sky from Albania. Who wants to start?
I can start.
All right, Eric, take it.
All right. So we've talked about this a time or two, and I know that for a lot of the hypothetical Eurovision audience, this is the only thing they're going to hear. But I personally can't help but compare this to the version that won Thickness, which was in Albanian, had a slightly different structure at various points. The bridge was instrumental instead of vocal for the most part. I feel like the version from the national final had honest to God top 10 potential. This version, I do not feel that way. No. I feel like it loses something. And I think some of it is the song itself. I think that the song, they honestly just made it worse in my view, but I don't know. Balkan ballad in English isn't quite the same. It's okay. It's still pretty good. She's a great singer.
She is a great singer. Actually, when I first started hearing her belt some of those real powerful notes, I thought she sounded like Kelly Clarkson.
I could hear that.
But she sounds pretty good. Now, I don't have the context of having the original Albanian version, but
sure, yeah.
I like this song. I don't love this song, and I wonder if, had I been hearing it in Albanian, if I would love it. This is not usually my cup of tea, but I really liked it. It reminded me of the Czech entry that I voted for that did not win, Dark Water, which is another kind of powerful belty ballad. I like that one a little bit more, but this is not bad. I like this. This is definitely, this would get a vote from me. This would get a something from me.
Yeah, all right.
All right. Derek, where are you at?
It's hard to follow the national finals and then watch the evolution of a song and see it become something less than what it was originally and not feel disappointed by it. I mean, ultimately, taken by itself, I think it does her a disservice. I think she's obviously a much better singer than the song is. And I'd like to see her do something more exciting, something more ethnic, too. This one feels like it's been westernized or Americanized.
Like I said, Kelly Clarkson.
It's hard for me to get too excited about anything about it.
Yeah. I mean, her national final performance was moving.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely powerful and moving. And maybe performing this live would have been the same, but I have a harder time seeing it. So, and I mean, again, we don't know, but it really felt like it lost a step in translation, figuratively and otherwise. Sam, what do you think?
I'm generally in the same boat as a lot of you guys. I think it's so difficult to separate the image that we had, you know, Albania being the first country to select their song. And for a while, it was the only song that we had. So it was what we were focused on for so long, this version, Shy, that we really had the chance to really explore and get into. And knowing that, you know, we knew that change was going to be inevitable. The song was originally written in English and then performed in Albanian for the national final. And we knew it was going to get reverted back into English.
Is this even a direct translation, though?
No, is this just kind
of a rewrite?
No, it's
a rewrite.
The original Albanian version, Shy, meant curse, as in like a swear.
Oh, sure.
Like, I want to curse, I want to swear. It still has that same sort of heart-wrenching sort of feel, but I feel like this is a little bit too, how do I want to put, I hate using this term, but neutered.
More genericized.
A little bit, yeah. And like you were saying, it lost a bit of the power from the strings.
Lost its teeth.
Yeah, it lost some of the teeth. And her vocals did not lose power. It's not a problem with her or the vocals. Her voice is stunning.
Yes, it is. It's really good. She seems to belt these high notes absolutely effortlessly. There's no doubt in my mind that she would kill this in actual performance.
Absolutely.
Well, you'll have to check out the actual performance.
You'll have to see what could have been.
I don't know if we've seen a live performance of Fall from the Sky specifically, and I'm sure it would be a knockout.
I think what Danny said
could have been
is probably the best assessment. I think she has the voice and the style to sing something with teeth, with a bit more, I don't know, anger to it, I think would really
some
help.
Huevos.
Yeah.
And in the original Albanian, it had the huevos.
Had eggs.
Yeah. Huevo.
Huevos.
But it just kind of lost some of the momentum, I think. And I don't know if it's just the intrigue of having a song in a language that I don't understand. And Albanian is a gorgeous language for music. So I'm always a little sad to see songs not in native language, especially after Albania had two great songs make it to the final, two songs in a row make it to the final in Albanian.
Very ethnic, too.
Yeah. And really unafraid of that. So to see them kind of go a little bit more universal, it kind of made me sad. And frankly, the same thing happened in 2016 and 2017, where they translated the original Albanian into English and it didn't qualify.
Kind of surprised they didn't stick with the Albanian again. Like, they were on a good course. It seemed like it was a no-brainer just to say, okay, let's just keep doing what we're doing. It's obviously
Yeah, they
working.
Seem to be the kind of country that always sent their native language.
No, they don't. They generally haven't. I mean, over the last couple of years, say, since I've been attending, so 2011 onwards, they've had four songs in pure Albanian. One was mostly in English with a little bit of Albanian, and all the rest have been in English.
All right.
So it's, you know, not a completely even split, but yeah, you kind of roll the dice. I think a lot of it might be, it's not necessarily the delegation's choice, it's the artist's choice, and they respect what the artist wants to bring to the table. And Arlena, like I said, did create the song originally in English and wanted to bring that.
Do you think she had eyes on like a wider audience to sort of break out of the Albanian music scene and create a career more internationally? That was kind of her goal with it.
Well, she has the talent, and frankly, she has a little bit of the experience already. Her song Nuntori actually broke the Romanian charts a couple of years back.
She broke them. They no longer work.
Right in half.
She also had a number one single, it looks like, on the Bulgarian charts as well. So I think maybe marketing herself in English was part of her plan for world domination. and hopefully, you know, I don't think Albania will return to internally select Arlena next year. Maybe they'll give her another shot at Festival Ikungus next year. But Festival Ikungus is to Albania what Sanremo is to Italy, in the fact that it's sort of its own monster and its own entity that just happens to select a song for Eurovision. So I don't know what's going to happen next year, but I think the contest is a little bit poor for not having Arlena's voice in it.
I hope she tries again. It's sort of sad to see which countries are inviting their artists back again and which are like, try again at the national final if you can.
Well,
some people might not have a song ready.
That's fair. I think
we've got lots of time.
If you give her another year, I think she could really put something together. Yeah. Maybe mature as an artist a bit.
Yeah, she's only 21 years old, so she's got a very, very bright future ahead of her.
She's only 21?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Speaking of young artists with a lot of potential, why don't we roll over, actually just one border south. Why don't we head over to Greece to see what Stefania, the supergirl, would have brought to the table. All right, that was the attempted Greek entry, Stefania Librakakis with Supergirl, or Supergirl with an exclamation point. So Supergirl,
yeah.
So well, what do you guys think?
I'll say this. I'm glad Greece basically got a mulligan this year. I don't like this song. This got a really predictable structure. Its chorus is nothing to write home about. It's got that element of sort of the ethno-pop thing that we see from a lot of Eurovision entries, but no. It's a no from me, dog. I don't need any synthesized hurdy-gurdy.
Eric, what do you think?
I love it.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man.
I'm a big fan of this one. I like the fuegosity that it has. This is one of the two or three songs I am most bummed that we will not see staged, because they could have done something crazy. I feel like my guess is they would have had her fly somehow. I don't know, but no, I really like this one. It's a bop, and I like bops. Boppity bop bop bop, bop it.
Derek,
it just doesn't work for me. I can't escape the criticism that it just feels too kiddie. The whole thing feels
Is this the one that you guys were talking about where, like, this one just sounds more like a junior Eurovision entry than a proper Eurovision entry?
There are people who are saying that, yes.
Everybody's agreeing with them. Also, it feels excessively produced. Yes. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
They spent a lot of money on it. The music video has closing credits, which you never see. No.
Let's talk about that music video. She has to save this like dweeb from being bullied, and this bully looks like this little geeky boy looks like John's Tears. He looks like Jacob Elordi. Like, who's making fun of this kid? This kid's gonna beat you up. This kid's got a modeling gig. Like, what the fuck?
By Greek standards, he's hideous.
Yeah,
I see. Yes,
things are different. Things are different in Greece.
They've got the statues.
We had said during the preview show, this is the preview show. We had said during the non-preview show when the song was revealed that it really seemed to be based on a young adult novel that I just made up.
A new series from the CW.
Yeah. It definitely feels...
In a world where in all city parks, neither pets nor superheroes are allowed.
Well, it definitely feels like it's of the era when Twilight and the Hunger Games were a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there were just all these generic young adult books that are being turned into movies for no reason.
Oh, yes.
All right, Sam, whose side are you on?
I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. Like this...
I know.
I'm making my damn diplomatic nature.
She likes it. She likes it, everyone.
No, it's fun. It's cute. It's very young. You could tell she's only 17. You could tell she's fresh out of the junior Eurovision year. This doesn't really give many opportunities for a vocal powerhouse. Mm. Like, this isn't the kind of song that you would give to, say, an Arlena Ara. And Arlena wouldn't be really given this. Like, it doesn't... It's a very safe song. Yeah. And, it's fun.
And in being safe, it's, like, woefully unmemorable for me. Sorry, Eric.
That's fine.
Yeah.
This one gets to fall
We're in different rooms, so... What am I gonna do?
No, it's kind of there. I'm glad it has some sort of local identity and local flavor, but it still feels very, very young. And it's a little bit strange to have this almost in the same contest as more mature songs.
Mm.
It's like there's junior Eurovision and there's senior Eurovision, and it almost makes you feel like I wish there was something in between.
Honestly, having this one after Lithuania and Albania, even, this song really does seem kind of immature. It's like, yeah, she is a very talented singer, and this song was produced. It's a shame the song's bad. So
I feel like this happens every year. There's at least one or two artists that are super young, super promising, but they just don't seem ready yet. And I feel like they're getting pushed into the contest much sooner than they should be. I think she should wait 2 or 3 years and then try again. I don't think she should be here yet. Not that she isn't talented. She's obviously a good singer. She seemed like a really good dancer. There was some good dance choreography in the video, but I think she's not there yet.
I understand the youthfulness of the song and this and that. I just think that it's a great song and that supersedes those things. That the song's really good, then I don't know that matters as much.
Well, I mean, it's like I said for the Israeli song that you guys weren't quite as hot on. If it just makes you happy, that's all you need.
Yeah, that's what Sheryl Crow said.
It can't be that bad.
Can't be that bad. Yeah, the Sheryl Crow song, Supergirl. I will note, Greece has said they are sticking with Stefania for 2021. And it specifically said, I think Stefania specifically said, I am done with this song.
Oh, good.
That,
okay.
I mean, that says a lot, actually.
I mean, she wouldn't be able to send it again anyway, but I think it may be the case that even she feels like a year from now, this song is not going to make sense for me.
Yeah.
And
plus, in a year, she'll be a superwoman. So
that's fair.
Legally, yes.
So stay tuned for Superwoman from Greece in 2021. In the meantime, we're going to move to, what do we got? Estonia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Estonia, the winner of Estee Lauder, Uku Suviste.
Yes.
One, I don't remember what it's called. I was crushing
What Love Is.
What Love Is. That's right.
What Love Is. But
it's about
Eric
time
wants to know what love is. And yes, he wants
I
to
want
show
you
me.
To show me the clip. Derek. I never imagined the power.
We'll stick around.
Okay, so that was What Love Is. Now let's talk about what this song is. This boy from Estonia, Uku Suviste, I'm getting some real potent storm like this vibes from this song. Now, I'll say I even think Storms is a little better than this song, but what do you guys think? This one seems like throwaway power ballad. I mean, put some more gravelly vocals and a couple squealing guitars under it, and this is Creed. I don't know how I feel Ooh. Even, you know.
Yikes,
saying that,
man.
I got my guns out on this one. With it not happening, I'm excited to sink my fangs into a couple of these bad boys. This one just seems real generic from my end.
Yeah, totally the same. I mean, vocals are good and, you know, he's easy on the eyes, but this song just didn't. It kind of just started in first gear, went to third gear, and then just stayed.
Exactly. Yeah, it feels like it's going to ramp real high, but I'm just like, oh, we hit the high point at the first chorus. Okay.
We're good here.
Also, can someone pick those cobwebs off that damn
microphone? I know, that gave me agita.
It's blowing onto his neck half the video. I just want to be like,
And I'm a total arachnophobe, so like watching the music video gave me a bit of agita. No, clean those goddamn cobwebs off before you make your goddamn music video, Estonia.
It's not cool. It's dumb. Speaking of dumb, I'm going to make an analogy that's going to make all of you very frustrated with me. So at like a pro wrestling show, hear me out.
I'm already frustrated here.
You've got a card full of things that are various levels of exciting. And somewhat derisively, colloquially, if you put something in a little bit, maybe second from the end, like we're doing right now, or something just sort of partway through, they kind of sometimes call it a bathroom break match, because it's not meant to be super exciting. It's meant to give people a chance to go pee or just kind of cleanse the palate, whatever. This is a bathroom break song.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's like a generic brand Sergei Lazarev to me.
This is the Target brand, the everyday essentials version of Sergei Lazarev. This was supposed to be Scream, but instead I'm just getting seltzer water shaped with no name on it. Yeah.
It should be noted as you guys make that comparison and as you make that, this is written by Sharon Vaughn, who co-wrote
Scream. This is the Sharon Vaughn crime? Okay.
Who co-wrote Scream. And interestingly enough, also co-wrote Supergirl, the Greek song that we just listened to.
Okay, well.
I have emotions. I don't know what to make about those two songs being written by the same person.
Derek, like, please tell me you adore this song.
I'm still wiping away the tears. No, I hated it. It just feels like the most generic Eurovision song there is. They had a checklist and they just made sure to include every little thing they could and not do anything innovative or interesting with it at all.
At least with Storms, they put Victor Krohn in the middle of a CGI thunderhead. With this one, what are they going to do? Just put CGI cobwebs all over his face?
No.
A giant spider descends.
No. Stop it. This podcast
That's what
is over.
Love is.
It's like Lord of the Rings. It's just the giant spider comes crawling across the LED screen.
Please stop.
Honestly, there's nothing that they could do to really save this song. I don't think so.
Not that it matters at this point for multiple reasons, but it's not like there wasn't anything super interesting at Estee Lauw.
Like, oh, really? This really was like the likely winner?
Considered one of the favorites, probably because Uku is a pretty big name in Estonia, but this was sort of a down year for Estee Lauw, which is a bit of a shame.
There was a song, Yagup Twisk, Beautiful Lie, that I thought was really, really good, had really, really inventive staging. I think its problem was that it was exactly Arcade, like exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
But it was really good. It was way better than this. And there were a few others that were pretty darn good as well. But I was surprised to see this come out of it because it's just,
Estonia's done better. Frankly, Uku has done better. And Estonia will be doing Estee Lauw again next year. They have said that if Uku decides to submit a song, he will get basically a fast pass to the televised round.
I think that's like a Valley Fair.
Yeah. Yeah. So he can, you know, spend less time in line and more time eating funnel cakes or whatever they eat in Estonia.
That's correct, Sam.
Yep.
He can spend less time singing, more time eating funnel cakes. And that's how Estee Lauw works.
That's kind of like my perfect idea of a karaoke night. Like, I don't necessarily need to sing. Just give me all the damn funnel cakes.
All right. I've had it with ruining this man's career. Let's move on to Germany, our last song that we'll be covering tonight.
Yes.
Indeed it is.
This is the shortest of our preview episodes because it's not quite a multiple of seven songs. So, or six, whatever. It's neither. 41. It's a prime number. Thanks, Europe. Screwing up our shows. Anyway, here's Germany with whatever it is.
It's Pendolich with Violent Thing. All right, for Germany, that was Pendolich with Violent Thing.
Sure was.
Yep.
Sam, you go first on this one. I want to hear your opinion.
Modern, fun, better than anything Germany has sent in the last couple of years. Interesting that they had to go to Slovenia to get an artist, but I think they picked a good one.
He'd been living in Germany.
Contemporary.
Though.
Was that Derek?
Hadn't he been living in Germany when they found him? They didn't like go to Slovenia and pick him up and drive him there?
He's lived in Germany. Yeah, he's lived in Germany and Switzerland, but he's actually done the Slovenian national final in the past as well as a member of group. But this is fun. I feel like I'm slightly too old for this. But no, this is the kind of thing that I can imagine myself sitting at the Euro Club and dancing. And the lyrics do get a little bit creepy at times. And I do kind of keep that in the back of my mind. But if it's consensual, then okay. But yeah, I enjoy this a lot, but I do have some minor reservations. Like if this were to be performed live, I'm worried about that constant high register and would he be able to sustain that in the long run, rehearsal after rehearsal after rehearsal after rehearsal? But I guess we'll never know.
Nope, never.
Derek, what do you think?
Eric mentioned this when we first introduced the songs. He says, I wonder if people are going to get stuck on the fact that the song is called Violent Thing. And yes, I can't get over that because it makes no sense in the rest of the song. And how the line is, don't tell your mama, ooh, it's a violent thing. I'm like, what's a violent thing? What are you planning on doing to this woman?
I thought he said, you're a violent thing.
I heard such a violent thing.
Such a violent thing. I thought he's talking about like her.
The mother? That's
what I thought too.
Or the girl.
No, like girl. No, like the girl that he is ostensibly singing to.
Is violent.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, girl, yeah. Such a violent thing. I don't know. He became like a Southern plantation owner right away. Yeah. I don't know why he did.
Ooh. Even then, I think violent is just the wrong word. Like, it could be anything.
I think
anything.
So, too. It's an odd lyrical choice.
It could have easily worked with vibrant thing.
Vibrant, oh, there
yeah,
you go.
That's thing. Weird. Yeah. So, like, violent thing at least has, I don't know, there's some, like, cultural currency to violent thing. Like, that's a set, mm-hmm. right?
It might be.
Yeah.
Or even something, I can't think of anything else, but, like, such a crazy thing or something like that. Just, like, the song seems to be about two people in that initial stage of kind of being infatuated, falling in love, where they're like excited and everything's fun. And
24 hours, he says.
Yeah,
24 hours.
24 hours.
They've established a storyline.
Yeah.
It just makes me think like she's going to kill him or something.
Yeah. I think the word that he's insinuating is freaky.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And
she's like, she's crazy. Like she's a wild lover.
Yeah. Something like that. But yeah, it's just such an odd choice of words. Having said that, I am a big, big fan of this song.
Yes. Okay, good.
Yeah. No, I think it's outstanding.
Aaron, we can stay friends.
It's like
I like it. Don't get me wrong. Like,
I think it's great. It would have come down to memorable staging and running order, but I really firmly believe this had a shot. It's just really good. It's a top tier Justin Timberlake type song.
Exactly what I thought when I was hearing it.
He would have a huge hit with this, maybe not with the title Violent Thing, but you know, Sexy Thing.
I was gonna be like, Justin Timberlake could make it work. He did Sexy back. He brought Sexy back.
That's true. It was gone.
Bring violence back.
Yeah. Ooh.
No, maybe not.
Let's not do that.
No, violence can stay where it is. No, I think it's spectacular. This would have put it third to last in the running order in the final, something like that. It would have brought the house down.
Kill it. I think this is top five material here. There's a lot that can be said about this. I think at times the lyrics can be a little bit not staid, not boring, but like weirdly, like they just kind of don't fit. I don't know exactly how to describe it. It was almost like the words that he was singing. I was just like, why those words? Why now? It didn't seem to fit the vibe of the song. Also, I don't know, like the music video looks like it was directed by Nicholas Vinding Refn. Certain shots, Ben Dolich looks like a picture of the man in the moon from a medieval manuscript. Yeah. And there's that one part where he like breaks Idina Menzel's margarita glass. All of these things are problems with the music video. This song hits the trifecta for me. It slaps, it's a banger, and it's a jam. Hmm.
A slap banger jam. Wow.
This song is fantastic. It says a lot where I actually brought my mouse down to the seek bar on the YouTube video just to make sure how much was left because I actually wanted more to be left. I wanted there to be like a 4-minute cut of this song. This song is great. This is a dance bop. This is a club hit. This song, I don't know if we're going to get much. If we do a song that I like better than this in some of our next episodes, I will be surprised. This song is an instant favorite of mine. I love
it. Wow.
Wow.
10 out of 10. Word. Eurovision party, 9.5.
Dang.
It's no friend of a friend, I'll tell you that.
Few things.
Yeah, it'll get more than 7 points.
I sure hope it would. Has Ben, I don't know if you said this, has Ben Dolich committed to coming back next year?
No comment from Germany yet.
No comment from Germany.
Don't know.
One of the big ones, so I assume they'd sit on it.
It's an internal selection, which again, small sample
good
size.
Good on them. Like,
but internal selections, I think, are trending towards we're going to bring them back. That doesn't necessarily mean anything for Germany, but
right.
I would not be shocked if they decided they wanted to stick with them. Although
I think I'll shell out for this is going to be song.
Yeah, this is going to be tough to top. If they like,
yeah.
Are they just going to send another Ben Dolich song that sounds like this?
Oh gosh,
can we talk about what a fantastic
they arguably should.
Turnaround? I mean, they sent Sisters last year, and then this year we are gifted this absolute smash. This is great.
This is a glow up for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it should be noted. I think we mentioned this in a previous episode. This is a symphonics jam.
It shows that it is from a very reliable pop stable.
Absolutely. And I believe this is the first German song that we've had from symphonics. So hopefully the powers that be will kind of tend more in this direction and opt for, even if it's not symphonic specifically, but opt towards contemporary pop powerhouse production houses that, you know, instead of just, you know, the cast off from Switzerland like they did last year, to do something innovative and risky and fun and current.
Speaking of which, yeah, I was going to say, as I was listening to it, I was like, this has the same genuinely cool vibe as Luca Hani from last year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I could see that kind of filling in that same square.
See how
absolutely.
He did?
Fantastic. Yeah, he did fantastically. From a country that normally hasn't done well in the past,
yeah.
You could find that one spark of something incredible, and it could just, it could blow up and be a bit of a violent thing.
That's what it is. He's referring to his own song.
That's what I did.
So those are the songs. Those are our six songs. I hated a bunch of them. I also liked several. I'll tell you which one. We're all going to go around in a circle and say which ones we hated the most or liked least or are bad. I'm gonna start with mine. It's pretty obvious. I already said it. Supergirl, I did not like.
For me, the bottom of the barrel, I have to give to Estonia. Valiant effort, but it was just not there.
Understand.
At all for me.
Derek?
I also went with Estonia. I think that was pretty significant order of magnitude worse than anything else we had this week. So sorry, Estonia. It's not good. Sorry.
It's not me. It's you. Derek?
I have to say Israel. It just doesn't work. I admire its ambition, but I think the ambition just kind of magnifies how kind of generic the song ends up being, which
worse
is really disappointing.
Worse than what Love Is.
But Love Is, it is exactly what it's trying to be, which is nothing. I can't really, like, it's just, it's so forgettable. And I don't know why, but I just get really frustrated when they try to do something really great and it just kind of comes out okay.
I see.
All right. Those are our worst of the week. Who's the best of the week? Sam.
For me, I mean, there were a couple of really good ones. I did like Germany quite a lot, but in the end, I have to give it to Lithuania. The Roop, it's just something so enjoyable and intriguing and engaging and infectious. And I just absolutely love it. I cannot get enough of it. And it makes me want to explore more of their back catalog, which to me is another major sign of a ding, 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 ding. So yeah, the Roop is on fire.
Derek, how about you?
I'm going to say the Roop as well. I see why everyone likes it. I'm totally on board. I wish they'd had a shot to go for it, and I wish they would have won. It would have been great to see Lithuania finally get it.
Mm-hmm.
Eric?
So there's this app that I've been using to track like my top whatevers, my top 41. You rank all of them. You have to rank all of them. And I think three of my top 12, without getting into specifics, are among these six. So this is tough. I think there are some really, really strong things here. Having said that, the strongest, no question, it's Germany. It's Ben Dolich and Violent Thing, as we've discussed, as a weirdly named song. But oh God, it is so good. It is so, so, so good. And of those, I did see Lithuania as a potential winner. I did also see Germany as a potential winner, even though people weren't talking about it as much. The song is just top notch. It's fantastic. Danny, how about you? I wonder what Danny's going to go with here.
Violent Thing. There's no question here. It's not even close. Not saying that the Roop is bad at all, but I really am vibing. I'm really vibing on Germany.
Vibing on Germany.
My other college rock project.
So gotcha. our more detailed rankings, we will kind of throw forward into a later episode. So stay tuned for that. Going to be some exciting times coming down the pipeline as we talk about this year's...
The Statmotron?
Possibly the Statmotron. Who knows?
You never know when it's going to show up.
Proud appearance from the Statmotron.
Woo, Statmotron. So we look forward to seeing you guys next week where we will be discussing the merits or fall points of Bulgaria, Latvia, Slovenia, the Czech Republic, Croatia, Spain, and Sweden.
Spain?
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm pumped for España.
Should you be, though? Should you be?
I really
ought not. We'll find out.
We should do. We should let people know how to contact us since we were just so wrapped up in talking about these bomb-ass songs.
Agreed. So you can find us on social media at 12pointsUSA on both Facebook or Twitter. Hit us up on an email. It's 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com or check out our similarly named website, 12pointsfromamerica.com. We would love to hear from you. Any suggestions are always welcome. Love to hear from our readers, especially on Twitter, where Eric has been an absolute meme machine, and we love him very much for it.
I am a meme machine. Check us out on Twitter. It's where our best content is because I made it. Take that, people who aren't on Twitter.
Good times. Good times.
Yeah. All right.
That was part one, done and dusted. We've got so many more songs to come. So I don't know about you guys. I need to make myself a cup of herbal tea and get some sleep. I feel like we've got a long, long slog of songs ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But until then, I've been Samantha.
I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Danny.
And America. And,
stop listening now.
Stop listening now. Oh, still working on that. But stop listening.